The next case is 96-1968, Disciplinary Counsel versus Dexter Wayne Clark. Mr. Clark, you may. I think you're going to go first. Is that right? There are two objections filed, but...
Yes, Your Honor. Okay. My understanding is...
You may proceed.
Thank you. May it please the Court, Your Honor, I'd like to...
Please, come to the podium. Stand the lights.
Make my initial remarks brief. I don't think I'll need more than 2 minutes. And I'd like to say the remainder of my time for after this is good. Okay, thank you. May it please the Court, I'm Dexter Clark. And this particular one, I would like to ask the Court to remand this matter back to the Board of Commissioners, either for clarification of their opinion, or to make it be more appropriate, a remand for an evidentiary hearing. My basis in asking this is that subsequent to the panel hearing and the Board of Commissioners' recommendations, there have been documents filed to this Court in the form of objections by Realtor, in the form of answer briefs to my objections by Realtor, also in the form of a notice of report filed by Realtor. There have been allegations in these documents that I dispute. But I need a forum, an evidentiary forum, in order to present my case. For instance, as far as any potential sanctions, the panel's recommendation was to complete a contract with the Ohio Water Assistance Program or a similar entity, whereas the board vetoed the term similar entity. Subsequent to the board's recommendation, Mrs. Stelly obtained and filed with the court a letter from Mr. William Haas that I was no longer in OLAP, that I would not be reinstated with OLAP, and that I had threatened us with physical harm. I don't know what Mr. Haas is talking about. I feel very inappropriate that should be filed with the court. I would like a chance at my side. I can't do it here. I need a different form. And I believe, based upon Columbus Congress and Plenar, that the appropriate form could be for either me or a demand for evidentiary hearing. Now, since that notice report came out, I did call Mr. Haas. I had a brief phone conversation. I have no witnesses to what Mr. Haas said. I do have witnesses to what I said. My understanding was that Mr. Haas was talking about some type of phone call, and he said it was a couple years ago. Well, it was a couple years ago. I presume he means that was before the panel hearing. And this idea of threat of physical harm, it's never come up before. It's never been mentioned by Mr. Haas to me. It's never been mentioned by Mr. Haas to any of my lawyers representing the board or the panel. Mr. Haas also said, surprisingly enough, I suppose you'd like to be rear-wheel mounted. Well, this guy is going to have to be in strict compliance. And we're too busy this month. Call the section. I'll call you February 1st. Again, that says the sanctions, but I'm going to need more a different form to be able to talk about these things. I have also filed objections as to the merits of the findings of this conduct. I would say those should be remaining in my argument.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Clark. Ms. Doik.
Disciplinary counsel recommend that we did a hearing that the appropriate sanctions matter be an 18-month extension of the
about OLAP not accepting him. Has that changed?
No, Mr. Clark did contact OLAP. We entered into a contract in January of 1995. Because he did not pay the sums and cooperate, he was then suspended from the OLAP program. Again, approximately 10 days prior to the hearing that he had in reference to the complaint, he contacted OLAP and supposedly signed a new contract. This is with Kerr Dodge. And Mr. Hoss, William Hoss, the administrative executive, of the OLAP program. After Kerr Dodge testified at the hearing in this matter, we made contact with Mr. Hoss and provided us with that letter. Now, if this court imposes the requirement of a contract with OLAP, we filed a notice and report to let you know this was something that was not a viable condition, so that we could impose another alcoholic solution, such as attendance at AA or another satisfactory resolution to the alcoholic problem. But that, according to Mr. Hoss, was not an option at the time. We're very firm about the fact that a long-term attorney is needed because Mr. Clark testified his problems basically have been with alcohol and have been with drugs. And we think a monitoring attorney, especially since he runs a one-man practice, would be very helpful. During the phase at the hearing, I believe that the monitoring attorney was produced as a sponsored attorney in AA, which I think is a requirement. I think a monitoring attorney would be a requirement. If this court does not want to impose conditions, such as I outlined during the hearing today, then I think a straight 18-month suspension would be the appropriate action based upon the prior case of Cuyahoga County Bar Association versus the order, disciplinary counsel versus OR, and departmental disciplinary committee for the First Judicial Department versus corporal. These have been outlined in our briefs. A bi-count complaint was filed with the Board of Commissioners, and the panel and the board came up with a determination that there were six disciplinary rule violations and one governmental rule violation. These were as proposed in our complaint as we recommended at the hearing. At the hearing, when it came time to make the recommendations, disciplinary counsel went through the 18 months with the 6 months suspended upon these conditions. There was really no specific condition or recommendation by respondent. Response attorney said 18 months is too much and let this man go on with his life. He also did not make a recommendation as to any disciplinary rule violations, but as I said, the panel of the board did find all of the violations as we recommended. And I think the appropriate action in this matter is the 18 months straight with no conditions, or preferably the 18 months with the condition, 6 months suspended, so that perhaps Mr. Clark can get along the right path with the monitoring attorney and be able to cope with his alcohol problem.
What's your response to Mr. Clark's request that we send this back to the board to give him a chance to answer Mr. Haas's allegations or statements about him?
First of all, that was the response to Mr. Clark's statement. I think the only up to the corporate way they want to determine the notice of report that was previously filed in disciplinary counsel versus court. I don't think it's necessary. This matter has been going on since August of 1994 with many continuances and delays. I believe that the court can handle this matter at this point in time without any further clarification. We have filed a grant with the court as to the 2 weeks of motions by respondent. So they can just ignore the notice report, but we still are recommending to do the same. Due to the fact that the respondent has failed to honor his agreements to cooperate with OLAP and his own statement during the hearing, the reason that he didn't go back into OLAP prior to the hearing is he feared that OLAP would not advocate for him at the hearing. So he basically wanted to stay away from that court because they would not be positive due to his lack of providing the testimony with funds and cooperating in the program. Due to his lack of respect for the legal system as demonstrated in the violation of the Article 6 DR 1-102A6, there'd be 3 months. finding intends to that. ER 6-1183, the panel found two violations of that disciplinary rule and two violations of DR 9-142-4, and is continuous a pattern of using the system without establishing any period of rehabilitation concerning this alcohol. We would request the sanctions as an outline. I think as stated in our brief to the court and our objections, I think the full made by Mr. Hans was very important. Quote, although we stand ready to help all attorneys in need, there is a time when the integrity of our program must be protected. Are there any further questions on that?
Thank you, Ms. Stark.
Thank you.
Mr. Clark, you've saved 11 minutes of your time for rebuttal.
All right, thank you. As far as sanctions, Your Honor, as far as the OLAP program, Ms. Stoy has done a good job, frankly. I think she's seriously underestimating the time that Andy Miller's calls, Mr. Austin's calls, Dr. Mellon, but I'm powerless to defend myself against those allegations unless.
Well, what reason would Mr. Haas is very committed to the workings of the Lawyer's Assistance Program, and I know they encourage lawyers to come into the program. What reason would he have to reject you as a participant in the program?
All I know is what the notice report said, and my phone call with him, which indicated words to the effect that's what he wants back in OLAP, and this time it's going to have to be this strict compliance, and we're too busy this month with all this. Otherwise, I don't know. I don't want to speak to Mr. Ross. I don't want to put words in his mouth. I don't want to be unfair, or do I want the disciplinary counsel or Mr. Ross to be unfair with me. I don't know. All I know is he initiated the idea of a hearing. I can't tell you that I can't present a form of evidence that what I did do was I entered the Alcoholism Services of Legal Work, or I should say I went there for an assessment, and I decided I'll do what they tell me to do.
Was he wrong when he said that you had been enrolled several times in the program but had failed? Was he lying there?
I think he's misunderstanding things.
To answer the question, had you ever been enrolled in the program and failed to successfully complete it?
Yes.
On how many occasions had that happened?
In my opinion, one.
Once. He says twice. Could he be mistaken or not mistaken? Could you be mistaken?
I can be mistaken, but in this case,
all right, so at least now we know that this gentleman has had encounters with you before, and you proved unreliable, correct?
That is correct.
I thought maybe you were indicating that he was completely lying about conduct with you.
No, I don't.
All right, so you've been through this route before, and you just sort of ignored it, correct?
It has been ignored.
Yeah.
I don't agree with everything Mr. Haas's letter, but yes, that's correct.
What's your presence? Excuse me.
I'm sorry, I didn't...
Justice Piper, I think you had a question.
Francis, were you there?
No, go ahead.
What's your present status?
I decided to get an assessment of Alcoholism Services Cleveland. I completed that assessment. I decided to go with their recommendation. Their recommendation was to go through their outpatient program, which is in Lakewood, Ohio. I did that. I completed that. They have an active care also. I'm now in there.
You're not going to AA meetings?
No, that's part of it. I'm going to AA.
Which involves 20 times a week?
I was a minimum three. Sometimes more than that.
And your practice status with?
I am practicing.
Sole practitioner?
Yes.
No monitor at this
point?
No manager? Is your CLE current?
registered now?
Yes. Current address and all. Current address, plus I don't know. And how long have you been at that address?
19 years, approximately.
And your office has been the same address for how long?
No, that's presently in my house. If anyone happens to be speaking, so I will probably sign it in my office. If I may, as far as the merits of the complaint itself, I would like to point out that I was the only witness presented by this council. I was presented as a witness for cross-examination. There were no other witnesses. There is no other evidence before the panel and the board other than the stipulations and other than the exhibits, which were omitted as far as authenticity, that is, each exhibit actually exists, but not as to the truth of the matter.
What are you advocating the punishment should be?
I'm advocating that there should be no finding of misconduct other than on count one. I certainly have no problems with prosecution. I would ask if it would be the sanction that it be probation status with prosecution. As far as the alcoholism treatment, I have no problem with that whatsoever. In fact, it may very well be, if this case was remanded to the board for clarification and further evidence, then I might be able to convince the board that at this point in time I'm in substantial compliance with their recommendation of treatment courses.
Any other clients out there that we don't know about that are going to pop up and say, I gave you money and it didn't do work?
I suppose that's possible. It's always possible. I don't think that there are any that would be justified in saying that. Oddly enough, count three, this is blank, this is nothing. Would like the entire attorney to discuss it. And submit a letter to the disciplinary council. So I believe that my counsel to the panel has heard the county's position. She does not feel that she is a victim of any type of crime. So I suppose the answer to this is always possible. I don't know if anybody is satisfied with it. But I would like to point out that I feel that it's somewhat an odd situation where the charge of misconduct would be found in the also, I'd like to point out that I think in many ways the panel did this interpret the factual situation. And going through each of the counts, there was error on my part as far as the top one. First, count two, that had to do with probating the state.
You do have an IOLA account?
I do not close one.
Okay, and you do not handle any clients' funds?
No. I have not heard of any of the funds. As far as
what, so what count is all mixed up or in error?
Right.
What that leaves us counts 3, 4, and 5.
Oh, I'm sorry. I would like to point out as far as count three that the board's opinion says, I think it's the last sentence in that section on count three, that Mrs. Colbert went to new counsel and Mrs. Colbert's new counsel promptly probated the estate. That's absolutely incorrect. New counsel for Mrs. Colbert did not probate the estate. New counsel for Mrs. Colbert cited and handled the case in the second prong of the attack would have been if the brother had filed the probate of the estate and declared the house to be a probate asset. You test that and say that no, it was transferred here by the son. When Mrs. Colbert did go to the council, I had a meeting with them. They agreed with me completely. They followed the same theory of representing her that I did. And what they did is they waited. They did not go to the estate.
So your theory of representation was I'll take her money, tell her to keep living in the house and do nothing.
To negotiate the settlement. Or to defend.
Which you did not do.
Which I did.
You did do. So you had, had the case settled.
Yes, as of now, Mrs. Colbert is still in the house, and the hereby was transferred as accepted by the brother. He dropped the probate. He dropped the case completely. The estate was closed, but the fiduciary was in court appointed fiduciary. As far as count four, Mrs. Cunningham has some problems with putting the mortgage to her house. She is a 20-year son's client of mine, also a personal friend. I was doing things according to her schedule. She wanted me to get the paperwork cleared if necessary to file a lawsuit. I did so. I was in the process of doing so. She did file a complaint against me. It did happen 2 weeks after her husband passed away. She thought it was dropped. And when she thought it wasn't dropped, she asked for it. And in fact, she was the one who kind of telling the board that I don't feel this was an evidentiary hearing. And
well, the board found that no meaningful services were provided to her and that you returned her $600 retainer a few days before the panel hearing, which is what you did in the Colbert matter also, right before the panel hearing. You returned the retainer fee to the client, which is something we kind of look for in conduct of lawyers. And if
that's correct.
Actually, it's better if you return it when the client first asks for it than a few days before the panel hearing.
Mrs. Cunningham never asked for it. Mrs. Cunningham initially used the money. And what was pointed out to her that just to clear the issue would be better for me if it was returned to herself, but she did not.
You mentioned that there was no evidence. Did you mean no evidence on the virtually no evidence or testimony offered at the panel hearing on the merit charges or with respect to the alcoholism problem? Because there's a statement, as you know, in the panel heard extensive evidence that the respondent had a severe problem with alcoholism. You must not have been referring to no evidence with respect to your alcoholism problem. Is that?
I'm referring to the merits. That the only evidence as to merit was my testimony, stipulations, and exhibits submitted at the office of this merits.
Thank you, Mr. Clark. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.